Welcome one and all to episode 53 of Mike and Tom Present. On today's show, first half we will be joined by the wonderful, magnificent Jay Renfro of the Devil May Care wrestling blog, located at jaedmc.blogspot.com. You can also find him on Twitter at jkrenfro. J is in his name spelled out, not the letter. J-A-E is his name spelled out. After that, Mike Falcone will be in the car with Tom Richards, recapping everything that went down at the first night of Chikara Pro's Joshi Mania, as the ladies of all sorts of different Japanese lady promotions come to America. Also, Tom Richards has joined the Twitterverse, at TheTomRichards, if you want to reach him on there. But with that, we're going to head to the first segment of the show, as I sat down with Jay to discuss Resistance Pro, Billy Corgan's new wrestling promotion based out of Chicago, which ran their first event on Black Friday. Please enjoy. And we're back on the line with me. He was with me a few episodes ago. We were previewing the first Resistance Pro show, which was at that point upcoming. It has come, it has passed. And it went over like a fart in church, apparently. Jay Renfro of the Devil May Care blog at jaedmc.blogspot.com. That's not two J's at the beginning, by the way. I was saying your name. Nonetheless.
Yeah, you crushed it. You're so good at that. So professional. I love it.
Thank you. I tried. That's 3 years of college to get a broadcasting degree. And this
That's awesome.
Yes. Well, the funny thing, it was supposed to be a two-year program, and ended up going for like three and a half.
You were thorough. You're just being very thorough with your learning.
Yes, that's the phrase we use. So yes, thorough is about, I guess that's how you describe this show. It was very thorough in that everything was either redone or done or thought about very thoroughly. I would assume, with maybe. The exception of...
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it seemed like, based on all the interviews and everything that they had talked about, it seemed like this, they had a very strong plan going in, and I don't know they have a plan. I can tell they have a plan. I'm not sure if it was a plan that had actually been thought out for 3 months, but they executed it. I can say that. For sure.
See, I wasn't there, unfortunately, on Black Friday, or else we would have hugged, and it would have been awesome. But
right,
what I'm getting to is just looking at what happened, it seems like they thought about it a lot. But it comes off like this is Billy Corgan's E-Fed, and he thought about it very thoroughly before he typed up the promos, and he typed up all the moves, and he put it on his GeoCity site. Only in this case, his GeoCities site was a very fancy nightclub in Chicago. But yeah, it seems like they thought through it so thoroughly that like they outthought themselves, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think you could look at it that way. There's definitely, on paper, I'm sure I mentioned this on the last time we spoke, that I was a little iffy on the roster. And... it seems like he's got a pretty good plan. I mean, in terms of the tournament concept, seemed like it had this great plan, and with this kind of homage to ECW and the triple threat for the title kind of thing going on. And I just don't think it was properly executed. There is a plan. It didn't come off very well, I guess would be a good way of assessing it. It's just kind of poor execution.
That makes sense from some of the things that both you and Cubs fan and some other people have said about the show. That makes sense. So I mentioned earlier the Excalibur, this fancy nightclub they did the show in.
Right.
Kind of talk people through the experience of walking through the door and seeing the setup and sitting in the Excalibur watching a professional wrestling show.
Right. So the Excalibur is a pretty neat place. And once you get into the area where the wrestling ring is, it's like three floors, counting the floor that the wrestling ring is on, of area. So you kind of, you can stand, there's no seats around the ring on the floor. You stand the whole time. And so there's a room for maybe 100 people to kind of crowd around the ring. And then you can go up these little twisty stairs that will lead you up to a second floor where, in my opinion, the best seats are. But no one got to sit there unless they were in the VIP section, which meant that you were friends, I guess, with those people. That's where, like, Victoria, Tara from TNA, you know, former diva, that's where she was sitting. And, like, Mike Adamly. They got to chill out in basically the best seats on the house while the rest of us kind of either stood around or I was a part of a group that went up to the third level, and I didn't sit through the show. I actually spent the entire show bent over a rail watching it, and it was like a top-down view, like the camera from like Money in the Bank matches and that the WWE uses, that like top-down Wile E. Coyote view. That was my view of the entire show, which is something that a lot of people should, I think, should experience at least once, but probably never again, because it definitely made me see wrestling a whole lot differently after that. But it feels like a prison movie is what it feels like.
That, well, kind you were bent over.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I made that connection a couple times throughout the night. there was a mirror behind me. And so the whole time I'm bent over, I'm thinking the people across the way, if they look over here, they're just looking at like a row of people's butts sticking up in the air, which I thought was really weird. And also where I was sitting, which I guess makes this even more awkward, was that where I was sitting is where the wrestlers would come out. So they would come out through this door in this kind of hallway, and then they would walk around and go down two staircases and then make their entrance to the ring. So I was sitting here right as all these guys in tights are walking out. And the first time I didn't know it. So, you know, I got like the Sheik walking behind me while I'm bent over a rail. And I just thought that was so, that must be such a weird way to make an entrance to the first thing you see when you finally come out is just like a row of guys' asses. So the atmosphere is really cool, but in practice, it's not a particularly convenient way to watch pro wrestling, I don't think. So it looks cool, and it may look, I don't know how it's going to look on the DVD. It will probably look really badass, but unless you're willing to stand around on the floor area or you got a VIP seat next to Mike Adamly, then you're probably not going to have the best viewing experience for a wrestling event.
I'm conflicted because, like, obviously, you know, again, like you said, it'll probably look really badass in the DVD, but how much of the aesthetics do you want how cool do you want it to look in comparison to how uncomfortable your crowd is, and therefore, you know, maybe not get the crowd volume or the crowd attention to your matches, or even, you know, want people to come back because, man, my back hurts from watching the show.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, I'm debating how many people were actually up on the third floor, maybe 20, maybe 30 on the third floor. And they're all kind of crowding around, you know, looking over the railing. So there's maybe about 20, 30 people up there. And then the bulk of the crowd was standing on the floor watching the show. And so, you know, I might just be in the minority that just got the bad seats. I know, I think Cubs fan on his blog, I think he said he was up on the third floor with me, but he was like behind the sound equipment. So he had even worse seats than I did, I think, for this.
The Cubs fans legitimately might be like the most mysterious person in the history of the world. Like, you had your story. I've heard people talk about being in the same building with him and never seeing him once. I have a story at Chikara in Chicago. I don't know if I've told this on the show or not. I was at my friend Ken's selling my used crap table, as you might want to call it. And he was standing literally right next to me. And Ken even goes, "Hey, Cubs, what's up?" And I did not make the connection until after I got home. I was like, oh my goodness. I could have caught the endangered Cubs fan.
I know, right? I look for it. Like, he and I have gone to the Dragon Gate shows and, or the Dragon Gate USA shows in Chicago. And we went to the Chikara show. And I think we sit and this is what he tells me every time I post an event thing, is that we've been sitting like 12 feet away from each other every time. And yet, so now every time I go to an event, I look around, and for some reason, I think he's going to have some type of Cubs regalia on. So I'm looking for somebody with like a Cubs shirt. He wears this all the time. I don't know, like that's just who he is. So I have no idea what he looks like, but one of these days, I'm going to find him.
I think the next time Chikara comes to Chicago, we need to bring like a net with like a big old pile of like old lucha or baseball stuff in it.
Something.
Yes. Going on to the show, I'm not going to go through a match by match because that's boring. But I have some certain curiosities, like for instance, Joel Gertner in the year 2011. Like
it is exactly like a time machine where they went back, picked him up, and brought him to 2011. He looked and acted exactly the same. And I was lucky enough to experience ECW live back in the day, which is now, gosh, I guess that was like 14 years ago that I went and saw a show. And I love him. He was great then. And, you know, if you like that act and that shtick, then he totally does it still, just the way he always did. I don't know what he adds beyond that. I'm not really sure. He's supposed to be, I think, doing the commentary on the DVD. So when you watch a show, so that might be pretty good. Because I remember liking him as a commentator when he was in ECW. He was all right. I don't know who he's playing off of or whatever, but
I can answer that question, actually.
Okay.
Danny Dominion, former Chicago area wrestler, now guy who posts on Chicago Pro Wrestling about how awesome steroids are.
Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. I don't know how that's going to turn out. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was crazy to see him start the show, especially with Shane Douglas. He was in the VIP area with like a notebook and a water bottle. Like sitting there just writing.
See, I'm imagining him like pouring the water on the paper and like just staring at it and seeing what would happen.
I don't know if you saw videos of it. Have you seen any of the videos of the show?
I saw the one where Jay Bradley like killed Icarus's head, and I saw the superplex one.
Right, the superplex off that balcony. There's like a little balcony that juts out. That's where the superplex happened. Shane Douglas picks up a table and sets the table so that he is sitting in that balcony. And he has a water bottle and a notebook, and he just sits and writes through the majority of the show. And I think right before that superplex happened, like Teddy Hart climbs up there and starts like trying to pull his notebook and like wrecks his entire table. And you think Shane Douglas is going to have a fit if his notebook gets ripped up. And I was almost going to get really excited if Shane Douglas like slugged him one and said, you know, stop messing with me or something. It reminded me of that moment when like Bobby Heenan got pissed off at somebody for touching him. I can't remember what it was. I think it was in WCW.
Yeah, it was Brian Pillman, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that. I was like, what is going to happen? But he was sitting up there the whole time doing that. I can't remember what we were talking about now. But yeah, that balcony and Shane Douglas sitting up there chilling out. It was weird.
Now, how would you have reacted if you got online the next day and found that Shane Douglas had started a blog and he had done a review and he was stealing all your traffic?
I would have been a little pissed off, but I almost yelled at him from across the room because I was like, is that I don't the guys I was sitting with, I kept going like I didn't know anybody there. I kept like pointing at people going, hey, is that Shane Douglas sitting there? And they'd be like, yeah, I guess so. I saw his stuff out at the gimmick tables outside. And I was like, yeah, why is he sitting there with a water bottle and drinking, like just chilling out with a notebook? And but later I realized what he was doing, I guess, was that he was kind of a part of the show in a way. I don't know what his job was, but during that segment in the main event, for those who haven't read what happens in the main event, they basically do a time limit draw between Harry Smith and Kevin Steen at 20 minutes, and then they give him 5 more minutes. And the announcer is at ringside saying, he's like putting his finger in his ear going, wait, I'm hearing something from the back. And I'm pretty sure he's not hearing anything from the back. He's just hearing Shane Douglas tell him what to say through this entire bit. And like Shane Douglas is over his shoulder saying like, no, I'll give it 5 more minutes. And so they do 5 more minutes. And then it's still a draw. And then they announced that it's going to be a three-way dance at the next show. And it was amazing to watch. I couldn't pay attention to anything else with Shane Douglas during this section, because I was like, why is he there? And when they say it's going to be a three-way dance, he like does like a fist pump. Like, yeah, like,
that's a three-way dance.
I know
dance.
All about those. ECW. It was weird.
Now, you mentioned the whole deal at the end. Let's go into that. The whole tournament, Delia Bob, let's all wrap it up. Let's all wrap it up in a pretty bowl over here. This whole thing, it's very confusing and weird. And Kevin Steen was yelling at people at one point. There's time limit draws and the Sheik's involved. Just explain the whole deal and why it didn't work.
They chose four guys to be in this tournament, and we were going to have the semifinal matches that night. And the first two guys were El Generico and the Sheik, and I thought they put on a pretty good match. And the Sheik won through nefarious means, meaning that he would go on to the finals at the next show. And so the main event was going to be Harry Smith versus Kevin Steen to decide who fought the Sheik for the title. And they do this match, and it didn't work for me, because I felt like Steen kept like deflecting heat onto Victoria, who was like the only person in the crowd chanting for Harry Smith. And so he would keep jawing with her and saying funny things at her. And so it felt like he wasn't actually in the match. Like there wasn't any weight to it. Like, hey, this is for a chance to be the champion of this company, and you're jawing with Tara. You know what I mean? And so it was kind of weird. And then they go, and out of nowhere, I didn't even know that there were time limits, but they just ring a bell, and the entire crowd just is so deflated when the bell rings. Like, what does that mean? And they say, okay, it's been 20 minutes. It's a time limit. This has been a draw. And then the announcer guy says, wait, I'm hearing something from the owners. They want to give them 5 more minutes. And so they go for 5 more minutes. And the 5 minutes aren't all that great, and it's really weird. I'm not really sure how to explain it, but it seemed like they were waiting for 5 minutes to go up, and it was like the longest 5 minutes ever. And they the 5 minutes go up, and it's Steen's in a sharpshooter. And as the 5 minutes go up, he's kind of basically chilling out in the sharpshooter until the like 3, 2, 1, and then he starts tapping, and then but it's over. And they say, okay, it's a time limit draw, 25 minutes. And then they go, wait, I'm hearing something from the owners. And like, I think at this point, the crowd's like just chanting for Billy Corgan to show up, even though he is not even in the country. And I don't think half of the people even know that he's not anywhere around.
Well, he was the main picture on the flyer. It says Billy Corgan in big letters above like everybody else's name.
Oh, I know. There was way more hot chicks at this show than I've ever seen at an indie wrestling show in my life. And I bet every single one of them were so disappointed that he was not there. I was like, they are not here for Colt Cabana. Anyways, they do this thing, and the announcer says, wait, I'm hearing something from the owners. No time limit. We will have a winner. And Kevin Steen says, no way. I wrestled 25 minutes. If Billy Corgan says that he's all about wrestler safety and the wrestlers come first, this is unsafe for me to continue. I'm not going to. And if he wants me to wrestle, he needs to just come out here and pay me more money to do it. And so that brings on another Billy Corgan chant. And so they go, okay, well, if Kevin, you know, obviously nobody's going to come out and pay him more money. and so he doesn't want to continue. So we're just going to make it a three-way dance at the next show between Kevin Steen, the Sheik, and Harry Smith. And I was irate. I said, that guy just quit. He quit the match. He doesn't get to be, why does he get to be in a triple threat? And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And so that's how they kind of ended the show. Or they, so the Sheik comes out, and I don't know what he wants to do, but he comes out, and he's angry about something, because he's always angry. And they kind of double team on Harry Smith, and then Harry Smith comes back and you know, cleans house, throws the bad guys out of the ring, and they're hightailing it out of there. He turns around triumphantly in the ring, and to a huge chorus of Colt Cabana chants. And that was the end of the show.
You can tell when a guy's really connected with the people. When you get him, get the crowd so riled up that they're chanting someone else's name.
Yeah. It was weird in that I can tell that they were trying to position I guess, their top heel as the Sheik, and I think they were going for their top face as Harry Smith. And to be honest, I thought Harry did a great job. I thought he looked great out there. And, you know, he did a lot of little things that I really loved in the match, but the crowd just wasn't into Harry Smith. You know, they were a very kind of pro Ring of Honor guy thing, and they were really into Kevin Steen, and he was more than happy to crack jokes and goof off, and I think they kind of, and also making fun of Victoria, who was up there being the only person cheering for Harry. It was kind of like positioning it as being uncool to get behind Harry Smith. And so then after the show, they still book him as kind of, hey, I got rid of all the bad guys. And meanwhile, everybody in the crowd's going, well, who cares? You're not that cool, you know? And so I don't know who I would want to win that match in January. And I think that was the big problem for me, was that I don't see anything that came out of this show that I am now interested to come back and see the results of. And that's no good when it comes to wrestling.
But you can be live in attendance and pop your fist in the air as the ring announcer goes, three, way, dance.
Yeah.
Yes. Then everyone chants ECW. And
Then
Spike Dudley gets tossed in the crowd and it's nuts.
That would be pretty cool. I would, if Spike Dudley shows up on the card for the next show, I will be more than happy to put down $20.
As someone who has seen Spike Dudley in the past 5 years, don't wish so hard is all I can say.
Oh no.
Young man's fallen on hard times.
Yikes.
So speaking of disasters on this show, the women's match, the gong, and the guy with the balloon boobs.
Ah, okay. So there was a women's gauntlet match, and I think they had just done this in TNA like 2 weeks ago, in which they had a gauntlet match, I think for the title or for the number one contendership, and Mickey James won or something. She like lasted through the whole thing. And I thought it was a little perplexing that they were doing it again. And they were a company that was talking about how seriously they took the women. They just kind of crammed them all into this match that didn't really, I don't feel, showcased their abilities in a good way. And on top of that, they add this guy. I actually have no idea who he was, but he came out dressed as a cheerleader, and he had one massive balloon boob and one kind of really dinky one. And so he was making a mockery of the women. And I don't think anybody was really clear on the rules of the match. We were all kind of learning them and figuring them out as we went along. You could tell people were kind of looking at each other going, so what is this? Oh, I get it. Yeah, you can throw them over the top, but that doesn't win you the match. But you can pin them at any time. And if you pin somebody, then you win, even if not everybody's gotten in the ring yet, I think. And it went on forever.
This seems like the type of match where, you know, the ring announcer is going to come to all you fans during the match and be like, now you have to split off into groups, come together, and give us PowerPoint presentations on what you think the rules of this match are.
Oh, it was, yeah. The guy on the announcer, he went over the rules, but nobody could understand anything that came out of his mouth. In terms of the microphone, the speakers, whatever, nobody knew what he said. And then they had just had this big group of women out there, and you only knew cheerleader Melissa really was the only one that anybody knew. And then as I pointed out, the one girl that I latched onto was named Serenity, and the only reason I knew her name was because her name was on her tights. And so I didn't know who the other, I don't know, maybe five other girls were. I had no idea. And then at the end, just some other girl who hadn't been in the match just kind of randomly shows up and wins it, and nobody knows who she is either. And she has to get on the microphone and say, hey, I'm Melanie Cruz. And everybody's like, all right, whatever. You know, the only person they knew the whole time was cheerleader Miss Melissa. They were just wanting her to just finish the match, and they couldn't even get that right. It's just, yeah, it was perplexing to say the least. And I couldn't, it just went on forever. It was crazy.
May I just say that if WWE has its divas, TNA has its knockouts, I want Resistance Pro's Women Division to be the big group of women.
The big group of women?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, is that... I don't know. That doesn't sound demeaning. They were... It's quite a group of them.
A gaggle, if you will.
Gaggle. Yes. A gaggle of gals.
Yes. I like that. Let's go to Billy Corgan.
Yeah. Their belt is huge. The women's title belt is massive. Do you remember the ECW the WWE
the one that looked like it just fit right on Mark Henry?
Yeah, the only person who could wear it was Mark Henry because it was just, it was that big. It was like a huge silver thing. That is what the women, it looks like it would cover like half their torsos.
Well, they're serious. You can't see any of their skin. It's very much a Islamic or an Amish woman's division. You are not allowed to see these women. Their belt protects their skin from being.
Yeah, they could hide in it. I don't know if they. I don't know how they would be able to. I think they would have to poke holes in it so that they could actually make it fit.
Now, we're at about 25-ish minutes, so a couple closing questions. We'll head out. Okay, first off, has anyone figured out what the heck a King of the Nighttime is besides a Kiss song?
No. The guy said this is the following matchup is, he said, for the King of the Nighttime World title. And it was never brought up again.
Like I was figuring when I saw the lineup, like, oh, Necro and Cabana, maybe it's like a, you know, these guys are wild and crazy and hilarious or something to do with like partying. And then Petey Williams is in the match. He's got muscles and he probably goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Petey was pretty funny though. He was doing this whole mask thing as the Canadian Destroyer, but the match was fun. But the ending was much like everything else. The ending was crap. But the first 10 minutes was great. But yeah, I don't know what that was. And they just said it, and then when Petey Williams wins the match, they don't go, "Hey, it's the new King of the Nighttime World Champion." They just, Petey Williams won, and then they move on.
Well, it's a shame he was wearing a mask. Like, the title belt could have been, like, one of those masks from Eyes Wide Shut, Nighttime. He's a pervert. All right, and then my final curiosity about this show before we head to our next segment. The resistance for the big thing was, oh, we're going to be different. We're going to be revolutionary. Did anyone really do anything different on the show? I mean, Petey Williams wore a mask, and I heard Kazina and O'Reilly kind of switched it up. But even then, like, those guys they weren't really doing anything flashy to begin with, so.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what was different about this than anything else you could watch. And I think that's what I don't know if that was the most disappointing part. I don't think I was expecting anything revolutionary, but a company says we're going to do something that changes wrestling or takes it back to a day. And the last company I knew that would say stuff like that was TNA. And every time they would do something, you'd be like, this is what I get. And this felt like one of those times where nothing they gave me was superior than anything else that I had seen before. And it wasn't exactly different. So in terms of switching it up, Kuzina and O'Reilly, I don't feel like they did anything different. Except they were doing these post-match interviews. It was like an MMA kind of thing. Where like an announcer came down there and would interview them right after the match was over within the ring. And I think they were kind of riffing on like a UFC show or something like that. But they did that like twice, I think. So I guess, I don't know, that's different, but I don't think they're the first people to even do that, you know. They paired up some woman with the Briscoes. I still don't know her name. I don't know why she was out there. And nobody understood anything she said either. So, in terms of revolutionary, that's what we got.
I think that whole, there was a woman with the Briscoes, nobody knew what she was out there for thing kind of sums up the whole experience.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
If anyone's curious about any more in-depth thoughts, go over to JAEDMC, that's JDMC.blogspot.com, or you can hit up Jay's Twitter, which I missed it last time, and this time I don't even have it up on my screen. Awesome. Go ahead and plug your Twitter.
It's JK Renfro. JEKRENFROW. That would be my Twitter.
See, last time I think I said it was JDMC. I was like, it's not that, but I can't figure out what it is. But hey, it got plugged. So go follow Jay.
There you go.
Go read his blog. There's all sorts of awesome 1993 WWF reviewness going on, and he reviews, current WWE TV. I believe there's a SmackDown review from a couple weeks ago right underneath this review for the Resistance Pro show. There's all sorts of fun stuff on there. Go check them out. Resistance Pro, I'd plug them, but I don't remember the website off the top of my head. And they confused me anyway. I believe there's a show in January coming up.
January 13th.
Thank you once again for coming on. Please don't press pause or stop on your MP3 player unless you're busy and you need to go do something.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Mike and Tom show. It's Mike, and I'm with Tom, but not the Tom that you just heard, but Mr. Tom Richards, at the Tom Richards. He's now on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter, motherfuckers. First time I held out long enough, I'm on Twitter. So start following me, I guess, right? That's what they do.
It's like when, I don't know, you weren't even around, like when you'd have like your... If there was Instant Messenger, and you have to have, like, all the screen names on your buddy list. And
yeah, I remember it.
Then it became MySpace friends, and then it became Facebook friends, yeah. And I guess now it's Twitter followers, so.
And I used to be the anti-type of guy like this, but now I'm on Facebook and Twitter.
Could you imagine, like, if, like, in the 80s, like, half, like, the wrestlers from, like, the 80s were on Twitter, like, if Twitter was around back in the day, like, when you were... You know, growing up and stuff like that.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night. I think I would have got a hell of a lot more ass in school if we had stuff like Facebook and
Twitter. Yeah, right? I've been talking to a lot more girls in high school.
Yeah, like, I think about how old I am, this old fuck. It's like, shit, I wish we had cell phones and I'd love to get sexed and shit when I was a high school kid. If there was, like, naked pictures of high school girls going around the school on cell phones, that's like... What? They didn't even have internet when I was in high school, man.
I got a cousin. He's in college. He's a freshman in college right now. He's fucking telling me, like, chicks send him pictures of tits and stuff like that. I'm thinking, like, what world am I living in? I'm living in the same world as this, but I don't know. We're not here to talk about guess.
I know. This is a wrestling podcast, although, man, maybe we should just talk about getting laid and everything.
I don't know.
Well, listeners out the ass. Yeah, it's the sex show on the Wrestling Observer website, man. Talking about sex and orgies and tits and pussy.
We're not gonna. Not tonight. We're gonna be talking about something a lot more clean with Chikara and Joshi.
From that, we go to Chikara Joshi Mania. Yeah, what an open.
Oh my gosh! But it was Joshi Mania Night 1. And honestly, if you told me like which show this weekend, we probably would have. Been to. If Joshi Mania was probably like the last one out of the three, because obviously Cage Death and the Indie Summit is today as well. We're actually not recording this in the car. I think if there was any mention of this being recorded in the car, we decided to just rack out on the way home after Joshi Mania and just record it the next week. We're actually going to record this after the Indie Summit, but like typical CZW and all that.
Indie Summit hasn't started yet. They just started letting people in at the time of the
bell time. Recording this right when the bell time should be. We're going to record after, but... Mr. Richards has to leave the Falcone homestead and head back to his place for Cage of Death this evening. So,
yeah, I'm going to have some people over for Cage of Death pay-per-view, and if I'm not home, they're going to be sitting at the front door not happy.
They're going to be sitting at the front door. It's going to be cold in Kingston, Pennsylvania. But no, we went to Joshi, Pennsylvania. Jesus Christ. We went to Joshi Mania, Night 1 Philadelphia, and I thought it was a good show. We actually got front row seats. We walk up, and they're... I don't know, we kind of got there late, but there was still a couple front row left, and we're like, fuck it, let's do it. And, you know, it was worth it. I think it was nice to see, like, the thing is, I don't follow a lot of the Joshi. I don't really, like, I honest to God say the only Minami Toyota matches who Dave Meltzer said had, like, 8 5-star matches, like, in, like, 1992. Like, I'm sure I have a lot of respect for her, and I respect what she's done. The only matches I've seen of her were in Chikara, which is probably terrible, but, you know, hey, it was cool to see her live, you know, and her and former WWE Women's Cruiserweight Champion Toshi Umatsu, I like back in Williamsport, in the March, if you remember that show.
I don't really follow Joshi wrestling. Like, I have a few tapes from the 90s, and, like, I remember when they were in WCW for a bit and whatnot, and, like, you throw in any of them tapes, and at that time period, it like, blows your mind how great the work rate is and everything. But I was, like, never this big follower. And like you, like, the only Toyota matches I see were her Chikara
matches from last year.
But when you do see them, they're always entertaining workers. So I was up for going to this Joshi Mania, right? So let's do it.
Yeah, you know what? When, honestly, like, I think she wasn't there, but one of the Jumping Bomb Angels was there signing autographs, I noticed, before the show. What, back in I guess 1987, you probably remember way more than I do, because I think that was like right before I started watching wrestling. So what was it like when you saw the Jumping Bomb Angels like on TV?
Oh, they were great. I remember like they just started, they'd, all of a sudden they'd have them and the Glamour Girls on like primetime wrestling and whatnot. Like it seemed like every week they'd be fighting each other for the belts and whatnot. And they were always great matches.
They were doing like power bombs, right? Like it was like the first time like people did power bombs like on American television, or at least on that high of an exposure, maybe, right? Or
like I don't even remember, but I just know the work rate was like obviously with them having all these big ass dinosaurs that couldn't move, they were all on going steroids, from like
Fabulous Moolah to
from the Warlord to the Jumping Bomb Angels, you know, back to back matches was always quite a change of work rate.
Yeah, but no, I guess we'll start at the top, and we're not gonna run down every match in great detail just because, you know, a lot of it, you know, there's only 7 matches on the show. Everything mostly got time. Some you could argue maybe should have got a little bit more time.
I think everything was time perfect.
Really?
Like
okay.
For a 7-match show, everything got the right amount of time. I thought that it should have gotten, it was paced really well.
Yeah.
But Quack's always good with pacing of his shows.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best at it, you know, if not the best at pacing an indie show.
Like being a wrestling geek that I am, I've always, like, it's always kind of, like, since I was, like, 12, I always dreamed of, like, running my own promotion. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to book my own Saturday Night's main events when I was, like, 10 years old.
Yeah.
And then I went on to create my own wrestlers and having my own league. So, like, pacing of shows and what match comes next. It's always been, like, this weird thing of mine.
Yeah.
Quackenbush, as much as I really don't like him personally, I think his pacing of shows and the match orders are always tremendously good.
Yeah, there you go. We had Team JWP defeat a great tag team with Los Ice Creams and Archibald Peck with Veronica. And that went about 15 minutes, and it was a lot of fun. It was kind of a comedy match, as you would probably expect. But it finished up with, as I'm reading the Lantern fans' results here, one of the JPW wrestlers got Peck and one of the Ice Creams up like in like a double torture act and got a submission. It was actually really cool, so... I apologize for my ignorance and not knowing who it is, but you know, it was a fun opener, I guess, when you watch it, if you're going to watch the DVD.
Yeah, total comedy. Lost Ice Creams and Archibald Peck is this comedy gold.
You watch
I can't
him.
Say enough good things about Robert Evans. He's just, goddamn, he should be on every indie show I watch. He's just total hilarious. Mm. And I really hope he gets to one of the big two, because he should be on a national stage, because there's really nobody better at comedy matches. But they did their comedy, and all three Joshi girls were solid and good. It was a good 15-minute match to open the show. Tremendous. Everything was dead on. Good, fun match.
What I like about Archibald, too, is he has, like, a presence of a star. I think you can tell just by, like, looking at him.
Total the presence.
The way he carries himself with, you know, Archibald Peck and R.D. Evans, you know, in ROH, like, you know, doing the...
He's so
in the
ready.
Embassy. Yeah, he... The guy has talent, I think, you know, big things for him in 2012. He's won...
And he's pretty tall, so he's not like a small little guy either.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. The next match, you had Gammy defeat Sawako Shimono. Went about 10 minutes. It was, I guess, just another... just with the Joshi women. And what are your thoughts on this match besides...
Being ignorant to a lot of the Joshi women, I had a 5-minute... discussion with myself, and I even brought Mike in here. I couldn't decide if Gammy was a male or a female. And I didn't mean that in a bad way. I wasn't sure if it was just all female wrestlers on the show, if there was male here too. It turned out she was a woman, big power type woman, you know. And I think I haven't seen a camel toe in this match, but I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that on this show. But anyway, yeah, it was there. It was all right. Nothing special, but everything was solid.
It looks like Matt Tremont's cutting a promo right now here on nothing like trying to cut like a mean promo and then like asking for technical help with your mic on live eye pay per view. Like, I want to say something like, hey, could you help me out? Next we had Green Ant and Tim Donst, and Tim Donst beat Green Ant by submission. It was an okay match. I think the timing was a little off, if I want to be honest with you, and I don't know whose it was. It wasn't really anybody's fault, but it wasn't like it was terrible. I think there was just something just watching it live where, you know, I know what I honestly thought about it, this match was, watching it while it was a good match, was this was a crowd I think that was maybe not even like a Chikara crowd. This was a Joshi woman Joshi fan crowd.
I agree.
And here's a couple dudes coming in wrestling. They're like, wait a minute, this isn't, you know, this isn't Joshi women, you know, and I think maybe that kind of hurt it a little bit in terms of just it being maybe a little bit more quiet than it could have been. But, you know, hey, Tim Dons, I'm a huge fan of, obviously, everybody knows. And I'm equally as big of a fan of Green Ant. You know, I think Green Ant's come, you know, I think I said when Green Ant got hurt, that sucked that he got hurt because I think he was really on, like, a great rookie run. And then he came back and, you know, losing to Teresas, losing to, who did he lose to? The Young Lions Cup, you know, I thought maybe that kind of hurt him, but, you know, you got that big win on the pay-per-view, so I hopefully have big expectations for Green Ant in 2012. And then finishing up the first half, you had Hamada.
You didn't even ask me my opinions on this match.
Oh, I didn't even ask you. Okay.
It's like he's a one-man show. sitting front row. Like, I like both these guys right off the bat. Like, I like Green Ant. I think for the amount of time he's been in the business, he's tremendous. And Tim Dons, I like Timmy, and last night watching the match, like, Tim Dons is so good at all the little things. The facials, working the crowd, being in the right place at the ring. Tim Dons is really, really solid. But there was just a timing issue between the two last night in some spots. And I don't want to blame Green Ant, but to me it seemed like maybe like Green Ant wasn't, this Tim and Tim, they didn't have the quite great timing on a couple different spots, but the match itself wasn't bad by any means. And Tim Dons is looking really good these days.
Yeah,
he's making great advances.
Yeah,
and I'm not just saying that because he comes on the show. I don't even know the dude, man. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, he's being honest. He's not even.
That's the great thing about me. See me. Here's what you get from me. I'm not really friends with anyone in the business. I'm not related to anybody in the business. I'm just a hardcore fan that's been watching this thing for 30 some years and. And I'm just going to tell you what I think, man.
I dig that.
And it's like, it doesn't matter. I have no connection to no one, so you're not getting political
bullshit.
You don't
have a buddy.
No politics.
You don't have
a
Buddy Wayne. You don't have like a. Actually, no, you have Billy. You have Gary Albright's final opponent.
That doesn't. I mean, it counts, but it's like, he was supposed to run a show last Saturday, and I didn't even go to it. It's like five blocks from my house, man. So that tells you how much I care about my friendship with wrestlers and supporting them.
Friendship of wrestlers, right?
But on a great indie story, the show was supposed to be about five blocks from my house, and there's always great. The show got canceled and rescheduled, and you want to know why? Because, true story, the promoter forgot to get the day off from his shoot job and couldn't be at the show, so he had to reschedule the show at the last second. Indie wrestling rules. That's a true story.
Wait, last week?
Last Saturday, we were supposed to be showing.
Oh, man, I forgot it was.
PA.
Yeah, it was Christmas season, right? Was he working retail or something?
Yeah, he works Lord and Taylor. So, yeah, it's, you know.
Say, he works at the mall, man. And, you know, it's Christmas season. It's hard to take those days off.
You
now.
Set up a day for a wrestling show and forget to get the day off from your work
to
shoot
take
job.
The day off work. Holy fuck.
Back to the Joshi Mania.
Love it. Love it. And after this match, I guess, speaking of. Northeastern Pennsylvania alumni Vin Gerarda showed up, and
that was a nice.
Vin Gerard showed
up. Tom Green will be so happy because he loves doing stuff like that.
Yeah, Tom Green loves his fucking transitions, man. It's like just fucking do the transition. Just fucking go to the next.
That was a transition for Mr. Green to be proud of.
No, he. But yeah, he had Vin Gerard coming out, and I guess Eddie Kingston was calling up with Bryce up in the play-by-play booth, and he was calling him out, and. I guess he came down to Eddie Kingston, they kind of brawled out. Leonard F. Jacarison, to his dismay, couldn't break him up, trying to break him up like Artie Lang. Like Bubba Booey was trying to break up AJ Benza and Stuttering John, I guess, on the Howard Stern show. So there's a reference that only the Stern fans will get. But that's what Leonard F. Jacarison was trying to do, and unfortunately didn't. They brawled outside, so... I would expect, like Tim Dons, like we were saying, possible contenders for 2012. Tim Dons is definitely one of them. Vin Gerard is probably another one, I guess. You know, you might see, get like that street fight or something like that.
Vin Gerard, I don't really care for, but that's just my opinion. I don't know. Each their own. But this was one of those things that was done so well that I know me, and I even heard like a couple people next to me, didn't even know if that was part of the show or real.
Yeah.
What the hell was going on?
They don't, I didn't. there were people that didn't know who Vin Gerard was. And it
so people didn't know if it was fans fighting, getting thrown out. Well, it was done really well, I guess. But it'll be much better on the DVD because of commentary.
When people who...
But live, it was like just a cluster of confusion because a lot of people didn't know what the hell was going on. Like a fight broke out in a Chikara show. It's like, what? This isn't family friendly.
This is not family friendly. But no, the next match you had, I guess, Hamada. I think I was going to get into that before I asked you what your thoughts were on the dance match. I rudely didn't ask you. But yeah, you had Hamada and Cherry, who I thought was very cute. And Hamada was cute as well. And why the fuck TNA just treated her like crap and let her go, I don't know, because she was awesome in this match. They beat Mayumi Ozaki and Mayo Shirai, and I had joked, I guess, Mayumi Ozaki, I guess, she's 43 years old. She looked like Joan Collins. I was trying to guess, who does she look like?
She is 43?
She's 43 years old.
So I was wrong. When we seen this chick, I go, look, she looks like she's in her mid-40s, and I'm 37. I go, watch, I bet she's younger than me, because you know how wrestling in the road owns you. But I was wrong, so she's older than me.
Yeah, I thought she looked like Joan Collins. I'm thinking, like, what a Charlie's Angel. I'm thinking, who she looked like? But no, she was cute.
That mid-40s,
I
mean, hey, with the short hair.
They're all,
like, you know.
They're all cute, I guess, you know, in their own way. But
speaking of their cuteness, though, it freaked me out. The one girl, I think it was one of the girls in the opening match, looked like my mom from 40 years ago, you know? And it was just, like, freaking me out because I'm, like, checking out my fucking mom or something, you know? Like,
yeah,
20 years before I was born or something.
In some alternate universe, your mom's a Joshi wrestler.
Yeah, my mom was a Joshi wrestler before she popped me out.
Yeah, there you go.
And she won't let me know the secret. And that's why I'm so connected
to
wrestling.
Yeah, that's why she probably didn't want you watching wrestling.
Actually, it was my mom that introduced me to wrestling when I was 6. Yeah.
There you go. But no, it was a fun match. I said, like, Ozaki and Shirai, they were like this, it was like almost like a mother-daughter tag team, like, in a way. Like, that'd be like a cool gimmick or something like that.
Yeah, we were talking about that. The Knights do that at England, I guess, somewhere over in Europe, and they're really good, and the mother's really even still hot, you know?
Were they on Shimmer?
They were on they've been doing the recent Shimmer shows, and I believe WWE wants the younger daughter, but I just don't think she's 18 yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, there you go. So I guess that's, any thoughts on that match? That was basically...
Good, it was a good match. Just they're all really good workers, you know? They all knew where to be and when they're supposed to be, and everything was solid, and
they all
I keep saying everything was solid, but it was, you know?
And they're all having a good time.
Yeah.
The
two, Cherry and the chick that wasn't in her 40s were smoking hot, man. Two of the hottest if we're going to talk about hotness, because after all, this is women's wrestling. They were the two hottest girls on the show, I think, in this tag match.
There you go.
So there's your money.
There's your money right there. But no, it was a good wrestling match, too. So you had the best of both worlds, I guess. After intermission, you had Minami Toyota against Toshi Uematsu, I guess. And they said Uematsu is one of her final... U.S. appearances, and I'll miss her.
She's
awesome. We saw her back against Madison. I remember she wrestled Madison on the Williamsport show, and God, that was a great match.
Every time I see her,
that was my favorite
match
in the show. Yeah, and I think she wrestled Sarah the next day on the or maybe Daisy, one of them on the next day on that the New York show. And I liked her. She's a former WWE Women's Cruiserweight Champion, as we joked. And I love that statistic because it's so obscure, but I remember it though because I think it might have been like an episode like Pro or. One of like those, old, you know what I mean? Like on like Sundays at 5:05, you know what I mean? On TBS.
I didn't remember, I could tell. But I didn't watch the last year or so of WCW. I gave up.
Yeah,
on.
But it went about 20 minutes, you know, and it was good.
Toyota, no matter the age, is always great.
She did a dive right in front of us, and
stuff.
Yeah, did a moonsault. So hey, you know, God bless her, you know, for having all these 5-star matches, you know, 20 years ago almost, and still. Doing great matches today. I think that's great. So good for her and great match. And a little bit of change of pace because you had a men's match. You had the Chikara, like a pretty significant Chikara match right here on like a woman's base show. But it was a good match. You had for the Campeones de Brias or the tag titles. 2 out of 3 falls. Chuck Taylor and Gargano. They retained over the Colony of Fire and Soldier Aaron. Great match. Went about 20 minutes. You had Fist cheat to get the first fall. Then you had the Ants tie it up. And then you had basically Fist working over Fire Ants like for the while. And then eventually I think he tapped out to Chucky T in like a half crab. So, you know, good match. Not, you know, maybe the best Fist Colony match. Not, like, the best heat you're going to have for a Fist Colony match, because, like we said, it was a mostly a non-Chikara familiar crowd, as opposed to, like, you know, the old Fist Colony matches where, you know, the hair versus mask or whatever like that. But, you know, good match.
Good match. They work well together. And yeah. As far as Chuck Taylor and Johnny Gargano, I could sit here for hours and tell you how great each of them are.
Oh, yeah. I swear. Back to Dragon Gate, man. They had what a weekend.
They get better every time I see them, man. I love both them guys. And the Colony's great, too. And they're over to the Chikara crowd, and they're both really, really solid workers. And these four meshed really well. So if they're going to work a lot in 2011, you're looking for a lot of great matches. These four are going to deliver every time together. Mm-hmm. And they had a good three-fall match tonight that Team Fist kept the belts, and there was no sign of Icarus, so it was all good.
There you go. Oh, it looks like Larry Ledden's coming out to begin the Indie Summit, so you might even have...
25 minutes late, Indie Summit begins!
So you might even have some commentary on that before we leave. We got about... I want to record about 10 more minutes, I guess, it looks like we got here. So I think Tom wanted to keep this at an even hour. And then the main event was Sarah Del Rey and Aja Kong, and the disappointment I think that there was initially, and I hate to start off with a negative, but I'm gonna have a lot of positives. But the negative, I guess, was that only went about 12 minutes.
I'm not a fan of real long wrestling matches.
Well, no, me neither, but I think...
But I thought this was shorter than I expected to be. Not that that was really a bad thing, but the ending came... I wasn't expecting the finish when it came.
Yeah, that and I think that's what it was. I think it's a match where... Like,
but not to take away from the match itself.
Yeah, I think it was stiff as hell. They were both just laying them in. And, you know, hey, this was Sarah Del Rey's dream match, and, you know, I'm glad she got to live out her dream. I had tweeted some things and, I guess some pictures, you know, that I posted if you check the Mike Tom Present Twitter. After the match, Aja said she'll be back, so maybe she'll be back for, King of Trios or Chikarasaurus Rex 3, which would be, you know, hey, Chikarasaurus Rex 3 got a hold in the Pontiac Silverdome, or I guess at least... The parking lot of the former Pontiac Silverdome, if they blew that up or imploded or whatever they did with it.
No, I don't think so. I think they used that. Yeah, because it was for sale a couple years ago, okay. And someone bought it. It was for something, I believe.
Okay. Maybe they'll have the first Chikarasaurus Rex on the... And that Michigan building with the, like that, that's like the flea market or something like that. You know? Yeah. I don't know about that one. Anyway, but no, it was a good match. Definitely go out of your way and see. You know, hey, we said it's 12 minutes, but it's 12 minutes of really good stuff. Maybe, and it kind of left you wanting a little bit more. Maybe there's a rematch down the line, so you have that to look forward to, if, you know, that ever happens. Or no, is she retiring? No, Bull Nakano's retiring.
Bull Nakano's retiring. Aja Kong looked good.
Okay.
She looks exactly the same as you'd remember from Raw in 1990-whatever.
1994?
I was going to say 93. 94 sounds
right,
though.
And then 95, she came back. She was at the Survivor Series.
But she looks exactly the same, so I was just in awe seeing her for the first time ever live. But they had a great match. How could they not? Two of the best women workers going. And it was great for the whole 12 minutes it lasted.
There you go.
Sarah looks great. It looks like she lost some weight. She looked really good. And Aja Kong, it was a blast finally seeing her live.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I agree. Looks like we're getting DJ Hyde against Dino, Dashuko Dino. So looks like that's kicking off this.
I hope Sarah Del Rey gets signed by WWE because that's her dream. And fuck, they can use a worker like her in that horrible Divas division to keep it all
like
together right now.
I was just reading like something on the Observer site where, like, I guess she did like an interview on a podcast.
And she's certainly, I mean, just seeing her live, it could be my TV fucking with my vision, but it definitely looked like she lost some weight and she looked great.
Yeah.
Well, then again, I've always thought she was beautiful.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I never thought she was overweight. I never thought anything like that. I just
she was really muscular and just really thick, but she looked like she lost some weight. Maybe she didn't. Like I said, TVs play tricks on you and add weight, you know, but she looked fucking great. She should so be
I think
there.
She's ready. I think if there's any women's wrestler, you know, her, cheerleader Melissa. I mean, you watch a lot of Shimmer, and I think we'll maybe transition to that real quick before we wrap things up here. You know, I think you just watched that one Shimmer was 37. I think you had raved about it.
Shimmer 37 I thought was phenomenal. Like, top to bottom. Like, I enjoy Shimmer, and,
did we already talk about this on this show, maybe? Or,
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But Shimmer 37 was great. If you're going to get a Shimmer show and you've never seen Shimmer, 37 would be a good place to start with their more recent shows, and it's really good top to bottom.
Mm.
Sarah Del Rey and, And Miss Toxie now, Christy Von Erie, had a solid match, just beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, because Sarah was on that show fighting Christina Von Erie. So, yeah, she's ready. I'd love to see Sarah Del Rio in 2012 finally get it. So, yeah, so that's Joshi Mania, and we've got about 3 minutes left here.
Actually, well, one thing I want to talk about, this is something we have to fix on this show, because you guys talk about television shows, and, like, Tom Green, no offense, has the worst taste in television shows in the history. He's always talking about Glee and Degrassi, and if I didn't notice, or Degrassi, it doesn't matter. Like, if I, whatever it's called, God knows I never watched it. If I didn't know Tom Green wasn't married, I'd swear he's gay just by his TV show selections. Wow. So what we need to do today, right now, is talk about some good television shows.
Tell me about it.
You know, like, let's start at the top. One of the best shows on television is Dexter.
Okay.
If you're not watching Dexter, get to your Blockbuster Video, get the Netflix, get the wherever the hell it is you got to get to, and get the first 5 seasons and start watching, because it's some of the best television you've never seen in your life. This season's not as good as the first 5, but up until now, it was easily the best show on television, and you should go out of your way to see it.
Yeah, you're talking to me, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, hey, if you don't watch it, you should watch it. I've been trying to get this rat bastard to order Showtime for years now. And then, speaking of Showtime, the new show they got out now, Homeland. If you have not seen this show, order Showtime, go to your favorite torrent site, whatever it is you do to get TV shows, and get the first 7 episodes, and get in on the goods now, because it's a great goddamn show that leaves you hanging every week.
Really?
And in that same vein, a show that a lot more people are watching, The Walking Dead, I've been watching every week. And it's a really fun show. It moves like molasses uphill, super slow, but the character development is really amazing. And there's a lot of wrestling promotions that can learn about character development from The Walking Dead. And then on to the comedy side, Tom Green once made a comment about he only watches shows that other people watch, which apparently is wrong, because he talked about watching Community, which nobody watches. Like, everything else on NBC does horrible ratings. But the good stuff, if you're not watching The Middle and Modern Family, get with the show, man. The two best comedies on television.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say enough good things about them two comedies. Yeah. You got to start watching if you want to laugh your balls off.
I dig them, man. I like them. I'm not a... I'm not, like, a fan of... I don't watch Dexter or Homeland.
Yeah, because you don't have Showtime. But Showtime has so many great shows. Californication, Nurse Jackie, Weeds, you know, Shameless. To go with Dexter and Homeland, it's just so much good stuff. If you do, like, original programming, Showtime is a great place to start. Download your shows. Do whatever it is you have to do to watch, and they deserve bigger audiences than they get. Great television.
Yeah.
Movies, whatever. They, you know, whatever they show. But their original shows are great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So there's
man.
So there's the other times TV.
Good television.
Good television. Well, hey,
we're not talking Community, Parks and Recs that are in the fucking 80s in the rankings.
I like,
and they're
Parks
only renewed because NBC can't get anybody to watch their shows.
I still watch Parks. I
know
Parks
you do.
I like Parks.
Each
I don't
their
watch
own. Each their own. I watch the show and I just don't get it.
To say something that Tom Green can actually agree with, though, while we wrap things up here, you watched the Indianapolis iPay-Per-View. I bought it.
Oh,
I haven't watched it.
I'm happy
but you're the one that actually did watch it. You watched
Chasing the Dragon. Another correct. I feel like I'm ripping on our buddy Tom Green. Chasing the Dragon is a crack reference, not a heroin reference, as far as I know.
He shouldn't feel that bad that he's...
No, because I'm sure he's never done neither of them, which is good for him. But when you smoke crack, like, you take a couple hits, and like, it hits you immediately, and the high lasts like 5 minutes. Look, we're breaking down wrestling, TV shows, drugs, and it's like a really great high, so they say. And then after that, you come down and you start hitting the rock some more, you know, to get back to that high. Thus, you're chasing the dragon because you're chasing that first high, you know. It's good stuff. Well, I ain't going to say it's good stuff. Whatever, each their own. I'm just a weed guy, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't.
Yeah, Chasing the Dragon's usually talking about smoking crack and you're chasing that first high. Yeah. An interesting name. It made me giggle when I seen the name of that Dragon Gate show being Chasing the Dragon. But I like that as the name of the show. And it was a really fun Friday night show.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff. Ooh, Our Nation just blew everybody away in his couple minute
match.
You
were saying about, and I only watched bits and pieces. I haven't watched the whole show, but like the six-man tag with the elimination match, or not the elimination match, but like that six man tag.
Yeah, it is. That was the main event, right? Yeah, that was just like off the hook, like you expected to be with the guys in it. But everything on that show is really good. Although, I really didn't like the way they used Greg Irons, but that's neither here nor there. It means nothing towards business. I just think Gregory Irons is like a special, not even mean that in a bad way, but like a special guy to have on your show that can get over and get, you know, babyface reaction just because of his whole condition. Mm-hmm. Instead of just using him as a job guy for cheap heat. But hey, every booker's different, whatever, you know. But it was a great show, worth the $9.99 or even less with a Black Friday sale going on, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's 15, but I think I paid $10.
Well, I think they extended that. Either way, yeah. It's worth going out of your way to see since it wasn't available on iPay-per-view. It's a good fun 3 hours.
You can't go wrong with any Dragon Gate iPay-per-view. You can say whatever you want about Gabe, but the fact of the matter is the fucking wrestling, the in-ring wrestling.
Yeah, you can never go wrong with a Dragon Gate show.
You can have the problems with the promoter, but don't take it out on all the quality wrestling that's out there. So, check all that out. Check Resistance Pro, I guess, that Tom and Jay were talking about. And
I'm interested in seeing that. Yeah. I can't wait to see Teddy Hart do his fucking moonsault from the second balcony or whatever it is. And
there you go.
I mean, they have a lot of interesting people behind it, and they got a lot of money that other promotions don't have. And
yeah.
Billy Corgan's got a lot of connections that people can't in wrestling business get or have, will ever have. So we'll see what happens with them.
There you go.
I hope the best for them, you know? We need something besides WWE and TNA.
All right, so as
we got a Japanese guy in a thong on
as Dino Teabags DJ Hyde, we're gonna wrap things up here because this is going a half hour, just a little over a half hour. So Tom, I'm sorry if
we're having fun.
Whatever, though. But I think we covered pretty much everything. So
I think so. Yeah. Cage of Death is tonight. By the time you hear this, will probably be over.
It should be a good show. So yeah.
You can never go wrong with Cage of Death either, just for the spectacle of 1,000 or so fans packed in the little ECW arena and a crazy Cage of Death match. And
there you go.
Some good wrestling with it. So if you didn't watch it today, probably order a replay or download or whatever the hell it is you do.
Whatever it is you do to watch wrestling.
Yeah, I don't work for no promotions. Whatever, man. Whatever way you get your wrestling. As long as you're watching wrestling, you know. Gabe, but whatever way you're watching wrestling, as long as you're watching it.
All right, man. Well, on that, there's Joey.
There's our friend Joey in the front row.
Or no, is that him?
No, does he have not a fucking mustache?
I thought because that guy's talking to a girl, and Joey would be talking to a girl.
Joey's got to be over here somewhere. Yeah.
Look, there's some front row seats open still.
Indy Summit front row still available. In there the first match. Get there now.
There he is.
By the time you're listening, it's over, so I wouldn't drive there right now.
He's right where we kind of sat yesterday.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
We sat in the same spot, front row.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back soon. I think we're going to be having, in December, we're going to have a bunch of shows running down, everyone's, opinions on the Observer Awards and all that stuff.
I hope I'm on.
Yeah, we'll have you on, I guess, if you'd be nice. We'll have you on.
I think it'd be cool to have, not that awards mean anything, we're busting last night, Diva Dirt gave an award that we didn't even mention during Joshi Mania. We're who cares about getting a Diva Dirt award? I think it would be cool if we did a show where we did kind of indie awards, who are favorite performers of the year, matches of the year, and whatnot, just on the indie scene, so that's not, since it's not really covered.
Yeah.
A lot of places outside of this show. Well,
that's why we'll have you'll be on the indie show.
That I think that'd be cool. Let's talk about breakout performances, best matches,
that. You can
listen to me booking shows for you guys. You haven't done a show in a month, and I'm booking shows for you.
I'm trying to fucking wrap the show up, and you're just wrapping. And you're just trying to pitching new ideas. But no, everybody, thanks for listening, and I'm kind of glad we're missing this match. If anything, so
it's DJ High.
Yeah. So we'll be talking to everybody real soon with our next show, probably in the very near future. And thanks, everybody, for listening. It's always appreciated. Take care.
Once again, I want to thank Tom Richards very much for being on the show alongside Mike and Makar. Catch him on Twitter at TheTomRichards. Also want to thank Jay Renfro. Check him out at jaedmc.blogspot.com for all of his wonderful thoughts, both on Resistance Pro and the 1993 WWF project that he's currently working on, where he goes back and watches all sorts of old World Wrestling Federation television shows and such. Check him out there, also on Twitter, at jkrenfro. That's J-A-E-D-M-C.
JAEKRenfro. I want to thank you all very much for listening. We should be back within about a week or so as we start our look into the Wrestling Observer Yearly Awards. If everything works out, we will be joined by a member of the F4W/Observer staff to help us discuss a few of those awards on our next episode. So thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned to MikeAndTomPresent.com, and we hope you all have a very, very fantastic beginning of the week.